All right, guys, welcome back to the Pause, Rewind, Play podcast. We're kind of back in the zone again, back at the house all together as a trio, and I'm pumped about it. It's been a minute, like a whole 2 weeks since we hung out last. That feels like a long time, but at the same time, a very short time compared to the last time we all got together. How have you been, Josh?
I've been excellent. Just floating through life, working. Everything's been super great lately.
Yeah? Has your dog been destroying your house by chance?
1,000,000%, but that's sort of, you know, the whole point of having a dog and living in an apartment. It's just going to happen. So it is what it is.
You adopted a dog because you wanted to ruin the house?
Yeah, that was the only reason, really, we got him. It's not like I love him or anything. It's just we got this apartment and we're like, we want to leave it pretty destroyed when we're done with it. So we'll get
things,
the dog.
Things are just a little too normal. We need some chaos.
Have you guys seen those those videos on like Reels or whatever where it's like my cat chose violence today or something like that? Like the cat just like someone will just be doing something really casual like for a thing and their cat just comes up and like bites them and then runs away and it's like
I don't know if I've seen that one specifically, but I've seen a ton like that. One of my favorite ones my buddy sent me.
Speak of the devil.
The dogs entered the house. It was just like a cat that was like freak. It was some crazy music going on in the background, but this cat was making all sorts of weird like faces. And it's so hard to describe. I probably shouldn't have mentioned it because you can't say. It was like arching its back and pulling its head to the side. And so crazy. Those are awesome videos.
Vince, how have you been, man?
I'm pretty good, hanging in there. Was real excited that we got to watch one of my favorite franchises, and I realized some stuff about this franchise that I had never realized before. We can get into that in a little bit, but I'm excited to get into this one. This is a fun one for me.
I'm pumped. I actually had so much fun rewatching this that I'll be real with you. I was like, freaking Predator isn't my favorite. Like, I enjoy it, but I was like, and then I put on my headphones. Like, I have the Microsoft Surface headphones. Those suckers played it, like, the sound in the theater, and it was amazing. It was, like, so much better than watching it just, like, with my TV sound. It was rad.
Dude, I bought the Apple AirPod Pros, the ones that go, like, deep into your ears.
Yeah.
Because they marketed that they had that 3D audio, and I was like, oh, that's gonna be perfect for watching movies. I'll link it up to my Apple TV. I'll have personal like Atmos surround sound in my ears. Doesn't work with Apple TVs.
Wait, really?
What?
Works with your cell phone and maybe your computers, but not with the Apple TV.
The one thing that you really want it for.
And like, it's not even just the one thing you want it for. It'll work with your phone, it'll work with your computer or however, but like your Apple AirPods won't work with the 3D sound with your Apple TV.
Is this because your Apple TV is an older generation?
It's a 4K one. It's the newest generation that's been out. It just doesn't work. They just didn't make it compatible. I guarantee that it's because they're holding it for the next like Apple TV. I'll bet you anything that'll be the big marketing push is like 3D audio on your Apple TV.
Dude, that's
everything else is the same.
That's what's so cool. Like I did it here and I watched it this way and it worked great. So I don't know. I'm at an ethical and moral debate right now with myself about getting the new Surface Book 3. I guess it's a couple years old now, or just holding on to my computer. Because the Surface Book 3 has like the detachable tablet and it's just a part of your computer, which is super cool. But I haven't had not an Apple computer in my life since 2000 and last decade. I can say that
in a long time.
2010 sometime.
Yeah, like mid 2010s, like 2014, I think. And so it's like really hard to be like, oh, I'm going to go back to this because I use a PC at work. But I spend so much time in like the taskbar and like trying to figure out why it's clunking up, and I don't have that problem with this, so I just had to reset the whole operating system, so whatever, I don't know. But have you been keeping up with your rings on your Apple Watch?
Still keeping them closed. That's this thing, man. My life's pretty boring recently. It's just a lot of walking around and running, and I started swimming laps. It's no one wants to hear about this. No one.
I do. I'm interested. Well, actually, since we spoke last time, I have like hit 10 days of closing my rings like every day, and I take breaks in the middle of homework to walk laps around my neighborhood with the dogs or by myself because I'm like, I have to close these because it's like, it's another thing. Like I told you guys about Duolingo and how I'm on 220 some odd days now. And then I was like, I'm going to do it with the Apple Watch and try to do a whole year of the rings closed. And now I feel like a freaking tool. Like, I'm just like, you gotta walk a certain amount.
That's me too. Every morning, I'm just, or evening, I guess, I'm like checking my rings. Did I close them? Because I'm the same way. This is my like resolution for the year. I'm gonna do every ring for the entire year. And every time I think to myself, man, what have I become? And even my sister, my older sister's been calling me out because like I've been going down to, there's a local pool hill here that nobody knows about for some reason.
Yeah.
So we go swim laps down there and there's like two other people in the pool ever. It's like, it's really nice, really, really comparatively safe to a lot of places, right?
Yeah.
With the virus and everything. But every time we go down, if I've done like really heavy arms day in the morning and I go swim laps with her, I'm like complaining to her. I'm like, man, my arms are already so tired. I did arms day this morning. She just looks at me. Are you becoming one of those guys? Are you just going to talk about arm day, bro? I'm just like, oh no.
My legs. Right.
Yeah, bro. That's funny. Yeah, I don't know. I can't like do much with my shoulder and arms because of like how I've messed it up. But like, I really miss lifting sometimes. And I didn't lift heavy. It was just like weirdly fun to be like, oh yeah, I can bench 100 pounds with one arm. Like that was my thing. And it was like tons of fun. And I did that for a long time. Like, you know, you've known me since I had my first shoulder surgery. Uh-huh. And like, I've had two others since then. So it's like, I can't anymore. Like I just physically can't. But like when I was climbing a lot, I'd go to the local, like the gym that's just like down my way from the climbing gym. And like, I would just bench as much as I could. And I would work on that. Like every time I'd go climbing after I climbed, it was so much fun to get up to it again until I like re-injured myself. So.
And there's nothing more frustrating.
Yeah.
When you actually like get into it and want to do it, but you physically can't, there's nothing more frustrating.
Yeah. But I got these luscious legs. I'll have to get them back. I don't know.
Every day is leg day for Casey now.
Every day. Well, at least when you're hiking. But let's like stop talking about fitness, I guess. I'm sorry. I'm like interested in talking about it.
I mean, it kind of goes hand in hand with this movie we watched. I mean, not necessarily this specific one because we watched Predators, the third entry in the franchise. But full disclosure, I decided last night I had to watch Predator 1, 2. 1, 2.
Fair.
1 as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a movie about 80s buff guys. I mean, the very first the very first scene between Arnold Schwarzenegger and Dutch and Dylan is their character names, is that you've seen that gif where they do the high five and the giant muscles. That's from Predator 1. And every time it's like, Dylan, you son of a bitch, boom. And I'm just like, whoa, my hair blows back. It looks like the explosion of the two arms.
Did you guys know that He-Man was just created for like the 80s muscle culture? Like literally that's all it was, like to sell dolls and like have like a muscle culture.
I love that.
I'm pretty sure there's more to it, but I was watching this thing where I think it was the guys from Hasbro were talking about like the history of toys, and they talked about He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. Cause like all those cartoons are like overly jacked, man. And it's like insane. And so it's like, that's why they created it, was like to get that, like you got to have the real muscle culture there, and it's just a ton of fun. I don't know. So I really actually, after watching this, was like, I have to rewatch those other ones too.
Yeah,
now,
that's
so.
How I felt. Because I watched this, the Predators 3, and I was like, do I like this one more than I like the original? And I kept going back and forth and thinking about it. And so I was just like, I gotta rewatch it. And then I found it's on sale. It was on sale on Vudu for $10, 4K, everything remastered. So I'm like, oh, all right, I'm in. So last night at like 11 o'clock, I threw it in. I was up till 2 in the morning watching more Predator.
Oh, man. Well, let's hurry and like dive through what we've been watching really fast. I want to hear about it. Let's start with you, Josh. You've been quiet for a minute.
I've been catching up on the Disney Plus train. I didn't have Disney Plus for a while. And then recently I added it to my Hulu, just did the whole like Hulu is ESPN Plus bundle. And so I've been catching up there. I am finally, per everyone's constant request and begging, watching The Mandalorian.
Yay!
I finished season one in like 3-4 days. And it was incredible, and I love it, and Pedro Pascal is amazing, and I would do anything for him, probably. So that's where I'm at with that. And so I've like taken a little break in between like season one and two, because I haven't started season two yet, and I finished season one a few days ago, just because I'm like, wow, that was really good. But I'm like, okay, I've got a couple other things I want to watch, but The Mandalorian is freaking amazing, and I'm loving it. So I know I'm way behind like the train, and I'm like saying this is the way to like my wife all the time around the house, and she thinks it's funny because she hadn't seen it either. But then I tell like my buddy at work, and he's like, dude, that's like a year behind, like you're so far behind. I'm like, I know, shut up, okay, I like it. So I'm doing that. I'm watching WandaVision. I am not caught up although I hear it's getting freaking crazy, like the most recent episodes apparently are insane. So,
I actually haven't started it yet, so no spoilers.
Yeah, I've only watched the very first episode of WandaVision, but everyone who I've talked to has said, hey, it's getting, because it's ramping up, because they're doing like a week by week release for the episodes. They're saying it's getting really good, so.
I'm all caught up. And at this point, Casey, if you're not like super jazzed to get into it, I'd probably recommend just wait till the whole series comes or the whole season finishes.
Yeah.
Because I feel like episode to episode, they're good, but like you saw the first episode.
The first one.
A very basic TV show plot. And it gets a little like, okay, I'm kind of bored.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like watching old Isle of Lucy or something, you know? Yeah. But I think as a whole, the season's going to be really good.
That's how I felt about The Mandalorian, to be honest with you. It wasn't because I wasn't excited to watch it. I watched the first episode when, like, a week after, so there was one and two, and I was like, I have to see this in a sequence. And so I just kept putting it off because that was like, I knew I would enjoy it, and I love The Mandalorian, but like people have said a lot of different things to me. The only thing I really know about WandaVision is they're on a swing set at one point, and there's a still where everyone's like this X amount of budget, huge budget, and like the hole in his shirt sleeve is showing that his skin isn't painted underneath, and everyone's like, and you couldn't paint this. And I was like, details, baby. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that the whole series is going to flow episode. I think it's going to be very streamable. Mm-hmm. Watching week to week is a little bit painful, although it is fun to discuss the mystery that's going on behind
like
it.
Like what's
going
to go on, what's going to happen next. Yeah. And then I was rewatching How I Met Your Mother the second time in my life. And so I finished that. Obviously, it's still super great. And I used to fight with my sister all the time about the ending, how I thought it was all still like really good. Some parts obviously I like more than other, and she said it was stupid. Rewatching it, there are still a lot of parts that I like, but there are other parts that I now find stupid. So I will admit that she is right for most of those. So, but the series as a whole, very funny. I forgot how funny it was. Very rewatchable. I'll probably do it again soon. So that's me. Nothing super crazy. Just some Disney Plus and How I Met Your Mother.
Nice. I'm going to go next. Vince is looking up something, like doing some research.
I'm looking up to see like what I watched this.
I just put my list together while Josh was kind of like, I was like, okay, yeah. I finished Big Bang Theory finally, guys. When we first got married, it was before like we had Netflix, and it wasn't on Netflix, and I don't think it was on anything. So we borrowed from my friend like the chunky season DVDs, and we got up to season 4, and then we haven't watched it since 2014. And we finally got HBO Max and streamed the whole thing in a number of weeks.
Oh, is it on there?
Yeah.
Oh, I have HBO Max now, so
you got to get to it. So we finished Big Bang Theory. I loved it. It didn't disappoint. I loved it so much. Vince would love it because of all the nerd culture references. I think you'd get it.
I've tried to watch that show. I get real annoyed with laugh tracks real fast.
There's a lot of laugh tracks in there.
That was my biggest problem with it. I'm just like, I don't need to be told when something's funny. Stop
telling me these things.
I'm smart enough for this. Don't tell me.
Oh man, I feel you. I don't like laugh tracks. Have you ever like seen the episodes they've edited of like Friends without the laugh tracks or anything like that on YouTube? They're so uncomfortable. It's so bad. But anyhow, yeah, we watched, then after that, we've watched everything but the season finale of season 2 of Bonding. I don't know if you guys have seen like that or heard about it. Essentially, it's about dom culture.
I saw that.
It's on Netflix.
I saw the commercial for it.
But. Yeah, they're short, like 15 to 20 minute episodes. So they're really easy to sit down and watch a quick one, and they're hilarious. They're so good. It's a little bit like NSFW, but it's pretty funny, like overall. So if you want to watch something quirky and weird and not your normal bag of bones, it's pretty good.
And get some fun ideas for later in the evening.
Yep. I guess that's where you want to go. I'm not a master or anything, so I have been listening to the first seasons of Vikings. I just put in my headphones and kind of like close my screen off on my computer while I'm working, and I'll watch it quite a bit as well, because the final season just launched a while ago, and I love Vikings. I think it's a great series. So I'm listening to that. I'm on season 2. So it's fun. No, I'm on season 3. I don't know if I talked about this last time, but I watched Another Round, which is a Danish film. It's got, I think his name's called, I forget how to say it, but he's the bad guy in Casino Royale, James Bond Casino Royale. He plays
Mads Mikkelsen.
Yes, that's how you say it. I was like, Mads, Michael, I don't know, I'm bad, but Mads Mikkelsen. And he plays essentially a teacher with depression, and they do an experiment to see, and I'm like, this isn't spoilers because it's not telling you anything, but they do an experiment because they read some research about how a human is born with 0.05% alcohol deficiency, and they want to see how you can utilize that deficiency. So they do a study on it. It's really cool. It's a great film. It's probably the best foreign language film I've ever watched.
Better than Parasite, Casey?
I would argue with it.
That is fine. I was just like wondering, just to make sure you didn't forget about it.
I haven't forgotten about Parasite. The thing with this one is it feels more relatable. Like, I'm not saying, like, because I'm not super wealthy and I'm not super poor, like in Parasite, right? And I've never, I don't know, got my whole family jobs through dishonesty. So I can't relate to that, but like I felt down, like, and I've done like different things to really boost my self-esteem at times. Like I've read different books and listened to different podcasts and really just like experimented with it. And this show kind of gives you a look into that a little bit and how it deals with relationships. It's so good. Like I have it if you guys want to borrow it. So it's really cool. And then I rewatched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood because it was on sale for like $7.99 for the 4K version on iTunes the other day. And so I bought it. And it was better watching it the second time from my house than it was watching it the first time. 100%. I enjoyed it.
I definitely haven't seen it since theaters, and I've wanted to because it was on my top 10 list for last year. And I was like, this is going to be really, really good. And I loved seeing it, but I watched in the theaters and just, I didn't go back to the theater. And then it's not like it streaming anywhere. Like you said, you got it for like $8, but I've just never been like, okay, I'm going to buy Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and watch it again. So I'll have to check it out.
Get on it. You got to see it again. It's better the second time. And over to Vince.
Oh, cool. Yeah. sorry.
Caught you off guard there, didn't I?
Yeah. I haven't been watching a ton of different stuff. Ever since the kind of pandemic started, I've just been watching a lot of what I call garbage TV, which isn't necessarily garbage TV. It's just stuff you can just binge really easy, you know, and not think. Like right now I'm in the middle of American Dad. I just finished Flight of the Conchords. Just like stuff I can put on in the background that's just like happy and levity and lovey and da da da. Anyway, other than that, I watched the complete opposite. I watched episode one of Chernobyl finally.
Yes.
Wow.
What a film series. Whatever you call it.
Yeah, that first, I'm sold, I'm in. Like, I got to jump back into it. It's been a few days since I've jumped back in, but, like, that first episode was just, like, eye-opening on what happened out there and, like, actually seeing a visual interpretation and not just, like, hearing, like, oh, yeah, a bunch of people died from a nuclear reactor exploding or whatever. Just seeing how that affects people from the radiation burns to the fires, just everything is just, like, eye-opening, you know, terrifying.
Have you seen a picture of the elephant's foot, which is what they call the radiation, like, from there? So they had to take a picture through mirrors to, like, get a photo of what it was, but it is just this seeping goo-looking radiation. It's crazy. Look it up sometime. I'm glad you're watching.
I have so many questions because I don't know any of the details of what happened out there, and throughout the entire first episode, I just kept, like, reaching for my phone because I wanted to Google things and having to be like, no, the answers will come.
Yeah.
You know, just watch. Just enjoy.
It's so good. Freaking Skarsgård man and what's his name with the glasses leading the way. I love it.
Yeah, I'm really impressed so far. And then the other one that I just want to...
Papa Skarsgård is really good, though. I just have to say that. He's like... The Skarsgårds are like the... Like, I say this obnoxiously, but the Kardashians of Sweden. Like, they're involved in everything and everybody pays attention to what they do. And they're in a lot of films that we like here, like Tarzan, It... Skarsgård was in the American version of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. It's Papa Skarsgård. I like, they're all over the place. And then, like,
Stellan.
Gustav is in Vikings. Like, so we know about the Skarsgård family, but over there they're like crazy and renowned.
That's cool.
And yeah. Then Jared Harris, sorry, I forgot his name, but Jared Harris is the other guy who I don't know if he's in the first episode. He is like a scientist where as they get into it with the government and everything like that, as the series goes along, he's one of the main characters and he's incredible. Like, he was nominated for Emmys and a ton of stuff for his performance in it. So
I'm pumped on it. So I'm gonna jump back in on that. The other one that I just want to hurry and bring up just quickly, we don't need to go super deep into it, but, on HBO, apparently we've all been living in HBO this month because both of these shows are on HBO.
I got it 2 days ago.
So that means you haven't watched, Euphoria yet, have you?
No, it is on my list.
Okay, I loved Euphoria. It's kind of a hard watch. I've talked about it before, but they released two like special episodes over the past month. I've only watched the first special with Zendaya's character, but wow, that's all I have to say. It's all takes place in a diner over Christmas, and it's her and her sponsor. No, is that what you call it? Like a sponsor? Like she's like a drug problems. Yeah, yeah, she's got serious, like, yeah, she's an addict and he is her like sponsor.
Yeah,
right, that's what sponsor. You call him.
Yeah,
sorry, I'm out of the loop on this kind of stuff. But so it's her and him just in this diner having this conversation about life and the point and depression and what the value of a person is and whether or not someone is worth something when they've done these very terrible things in their lives. I just loved it, you know, just listening to these two people talk about life and the experiences that these two characters have had and whether or not those experiences and those decisions make them bad people or not was just really, really interesting to me. And I really enjoyed it. So I'm looking forward to watching that second episode special that just came out, because I think it just came out like in the last week or two. And I'm going to jump into that soon. I think so. That's about it. That's about it for me.
I would be, sorry, I know we want to move on, but I would be amiss, especially since we started talking about HBO Max, if I didn't mention that I also watched the, I think it was released yesterday, if I'm not crazy, The Little Things, starring Denzel Washington, Rami Malek, and Jared Leto. It's really good. Like, the reviews are very mixed. Like, last time I checked, it was like 49% critic score and 51% audience score. So like, not super great. And I will say that there's a few things, like the ending sometimes was like, eh, whatever. But the performances alone by all of these actors and the buildup of this atmosphere and the mystery that goes along with all of these, because it's very like, it's like a show about these detectives and they're trying to catch these different serial killers and stuff. It's very like I said, the ending for a lot of people wasn't satisfying. For some people, they liked it. But the buildup and the suspense throughout the entire movie, along with the performances of those amazing actors, is well worth like watching it if you have the chance, for sure. So that's it. I know we said really quick, what are we watching? Like 15 minutes later, here we are. But, you know, it is what it is.
We got words to say and movies to chat about. We haven't, like, it's so cool to be back in person. I just have to say that, like, we're spread out like enough that like I feel safe. But also, I'm just glad you're here. Like, it's a lot easier to have these conversations and, like, really be like, let's mindlessly talk about movies for a little while. And I want to talk about today's movie. And obviously, if you're listening to this, you've read the title, you know what we're talking about. So, Vince, take it away. Tell us about our movie today.
Yeah. So, we are watching Predators, the third entry in the Predator franchise. And you're probably asking, why are you jumping directly to the third entry in the franchise? And that's because I really liked the third entry to the Predator franchise.
You just like Adrian Brody, don't you?
I have no problem with him. I don't know. All I know him from is really this. I know he was like award nominated winner. I don't know. I don't know a lot about Adrian Brody, but I know a lot about Predator. I know a decent amount about Predator. So,
do you know more about Predator or aliens, like the xenomorphs and stuff?
This is the thing, man. They go hand in hand to me.
Okay.
And so I don't know. I probably know more about Alien because there's been more movies about in the Alien franchise than there is in the Predator franchise.
Yeah.
Doing research for this movie, I learned stuff about Predator that really surprised me. I'll put it that way. And we'll get into that.
Yeah.
We'll get into that. But I realized, and this is one of the first things I want to talk about. After I run through the kind of the movie information, is just like what our first experiences with the franchise is and kind of how you grew up with it, whether or not this is like your first outing with it or if you grew up on the thing or if it's just kind of been out there in the zeitgeist for you and you just never jumped on board. And we'll get into that in a second. So I'm just going to run through kind of the movie info. The movie was directed by Nimrod Antle and produced by Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah.
In his studio. Written by Alex Alex Litvak and Michael Finch. The movie was released July 9th, 2010, with a budget of $40 million. It grossed $127 million. IMDb gives it a 6.4, and this is something that surprised me. Rotten Tomatoes' critic score is a 65%, but the audience score is a 52%.
Huh.
With an action movie like this and a big franchise like this, I just feel like it's usually the opposite, where the critics really don't like things, but the audience is so hyped on something that the audience score is usually higher.
Well, I looked at the Rotten Tomatoes score as well, and I saw that, and I was surprised. But from what I had like read from like a few of like the little mini reviews, was that the critics thought that some of the other, so I guess since it's the third, it would only be the second one, but they said that like maybe like the second one wasn't as great, but I think they just loved that it kind of really got down to like a bloody, like, it's not original because it's like still rebooting it, but like, hey, you're doing a sequel to the movie, like, and they got down to like, hey, just like, it's really bloody, like gritty, like sort of like the first one was. So that's what I had read from at least the little mini reviews that I had said. So critics like that, and I think maybe the audiences just wanted like Arnold Schwarzenegger again, like more muscles.
Jim Brody looks so jacked in a couple of these sequences. He's still like thin Skeletor jacked, but like he's like, there's one point where he's holding the gun. And I was like, that guy could beat the crap out of things. And it was cool. Well, also, guys, I just have to say, I hated Morpheus's appearance in this. I was very bothered by it. But also, his character made great beauty strides. And I'm not trying to give away too much.
Lawrence Fishburne, right?
Yes. But I know him as Morpheus because
I've seen Matrix Morpheus. Now. Because of the podcast, I know who Morpheus is.
All right, so the movie's starring Adrian Brody, Alice Braga, Topher Grace, Walton Goggins, Lawrence Fishburne, Danny Trejo, Oleg Taktarov, and Luis Ozawa. Freaking killer cast.
Freaking Eric Foreman is in this. That threw me off.
You said freaking killer cast without mentioning the Oscar winner in the cast.
Who did I miss?
Mahershala Ali.
He was
not in it for very long, to be fair.
Like, he's a brute.
Remind me, where was he?
Mahershala Ali, he is near the beginning. He was the guy who was fighting the other prison guy. He's the black guy who's fighting.
Yeah, so he's the one who's like he's from Mali, I guess is what they're describing him as, essentially like a war criminal.
Oh yeah, he's like from like Sierra Leone.
Yeah, Sierra Leone. Thank you. I was like, he's from down there.
Mahershala Ali.
I know, right?
He's to the list.
Dude, he's so yoked.
I can't say. Never mind. Yeah, it's crazy.
And I honestly have no idea how I didn't see him in my IMDb study and add him to the list of starring. So my apologies, Mahershala. Great job that you did good in this.
Oh man.
Casting considerations, I just found one for the role of Adrian Brody's character, who I'm not going to say any of the names of these characters because, number one, there's only a couple of characters that they actually say the names of. Number two, I loved that we didn't get any of the names for the characters. They just all had their role and style, and that's all we needed, you know?
Well, it's how he describes them at the beginning when he's like pinpointing who they are. He kind of briefly gives information about them, but I don't think he gives names on everyone. He just says, this is who you are. And I like that. It reminds me of like The Road, where it's just father and son. There are actually no names between it. I think films like that and stories like that, where you get more of a, like, you're allowed to have a more of a broad idea of this. I love that kind of stuff because it's like, if you pinpoint it and name somebody like Klaus, if you know any Klauses, right, you're like, ah, Klaus, I know one, and you give them like a stereotype. But if it's just man with big gun, one man with huge gun, Russian
with mini gun,
yeah, like all this
Mexican type of... with two submachine guns or
no, like literally, I'll let you go through the casting considerations, but after that I watched half of this movie with my wife, but then she had to go to sleep because she had work early in the morning at the hospital, and so then I described the second half of the movie to her, and I used like, because we had talked about it, and since we didn't really know their names, I just like called each of the characters something, and I want to like go through my list of what they called them, because it was like, I found it pretty humorous afterwards, like how I was referring to these characters. So the very first one, and I don't know if you guys thought this at all, but both Jaleesa and I were like, oh my goodness, yes. So Adrian Brody, who's a main character, we thought he sounded a ton like Hugh Jackman. So we thought that he was budget Wolverine. So we're like, if they could have, they would have had Hugh Jackman in that main role, but they couldn't get him. So they got Adrian Brody. So you got budget Wolverine. You have Sniper Chick. You have Eric, who is the doctor. And it's because he's Eric from that 70s show.
Yep, Eric Foreman.
La Tortuga for the Mexican guy from Breaking Bad. Walton Goggins. I just called him the creepy pedo person. Like creepy pedo prisoner. Lawrence Fishburne. I called Lawrence Fishburne.
He gets his real name.
it's Lawrence Fishburne, man. Like that's all it was. I guess Mahershala Ali was also Mahershala Ali. And then the Asian sort of hitman guy, he was Samurai Man because he had his gun, but he also whipped out the samurai sword and everything like that. Yes. And then Nikolai was Nikolai because I remembered that one. So
oh, really? When did they say his name?
I think it was near the beginning, maybe when he was introducing himself to people. And I mean, Nikolai, like maybe just because I've like played like Call of Duty and that's like a name. Like I was like, oh, Nikolai, like I know Nikolai. So I don't know.
That's like, freaking hilarious because I'm the same way. Like the movie ended, I was just like, I don't really want to know any of their names.
You know? No, for
like,
real.
This is exactly what I wanted. Each one of them expendable. Each one of them just like running through the jungle doing their thing. You know they're all going to die and you're just in for the ride.
Trust me, like me like explaining the second half of this movie to Julia. Just like imagine, I'm like, and then budget Wolverine does this. And then Eric pulls out the knife. And then, like, it was pretty funny.
Okay, we'll talk about this later. I'm excited to talk about this because it was a fun film.
Yeah. Okay, so real quick, just the casting consideration, the only one that I found for Adrian Brody's character, apparently Josh Brolin was considered.
I could see that too.
Yeah, me too. I honestly might have preferred it. I'm a big fan of Josh Brolin, and Adrian Brody was good in it, but like, I don't really feel like he brought a lot to the table.
No.
For someone who's nominated actor, blah, blah, blah.
No, he won.
Oh, he won one?
He won for The Pianist.
Okay.
He won Oscar?
Yeah. He's fine. His thing is like this isn't his normal type of character, and so casting him as like this brute, fierce, supposedly like jarhead mercenary person just didn't entirely fit his spot, in my opinion.
So we're in the characters here. Who was your favorite of the group?
I wanted more of Danny Trejo's character.
Yeah, I was really sad. Like, can we get into spoilers? Is that allowed
this
yet?
This is a 10-year-old movie. Can we get into
spoilers? I want to put out the spoiler alert first. I was very sad that he was the first one dead. That made me really sad. Because when all of a sudden they're like, wait, there's seven of us. And I'm like, wait a second. And I'm like going through that. I'm like, who is it? And then you hear like the help. And I was like, La Tortuga, no. I was so sad. He was pretty cool. I did love like he got the double MP5s there. I was like, man, this dude's rolling. Ah, oh, super sad.
He was so good. He always gets the best deaths in his movies. Like you said, Breaking Bad, La Tortuga gets a really good death in that one. In this one, it's a really good death. It's really soon in the movie, but it was a really good death.
No.
He's a treasure. Fun little fact about side note about him in the movie. The reason he was cast, number one, he's like one of Robert Rodriguez's go-to guys.
He's in all of his films, isn't he? Pretty much. He's in freaking Spy Kids.
Yeah, exactly. So random.
Like at the time, wasn't he doing machete films? Like these brutal, destructive
films. And then he's like, yeah, I'll be in Spy Kids.
Yeah.
I felt the same way about Robert Rodriguez with that one. He's doing like Sin City, Machete, all these like violent comic book and action movies, and then Spy Kids. Wait, what? But the script had for that character written in a Danny Trejo type. This is in IMDb, so fact check me. Who knows if this is actually true, but it actually had in the script that this character was going to be a Danny Trejo type, and as soon as Danny Trejo learned that said that in the script, he's just like, well, I want to do it then. Like, if it's my type of character that I'm in. And so they brought Danny Trejo in, and he did it.
That's awesome.
Oh, man. I mean, I think even though all of the characters are sort of considered bad / like predator-ish people on Earth. So none of them are really considered to be good people. Of all of them, I feel like I maybe connected / liked Sniper Lady the most. Like I felt like she was the one that I could actually like connect with and like sort of feel something for. The main character, even though I liked him and he was like a freaking badass, almost all the time I was like, yeah, like I don't really care. Like if you like when they did the little like trick thing about the, hey, he went into the ship and the predator guy blew it up and it made you think that he was dead, I was like, okay, like, I'm not super upset by that. Like, that's all right. Especially after he left them with the one guy getting hurt. I was like, I know you got to do what you got to do, but I don't really care that you died. So I feel like I never connected super strong to any of them except for maybe Sniper Lady and Nikolai. I liked Nikolai as far as like connect and think, oh, okay. Like, even though they might've done bad stuff, like I was okay with them versus other people.
Yeah. They're more, they did bad stuff in the name and for a reason, you know,
yeah.
They're fighting for their countries or whatever.
Or their kids.
Yeah. I was going to say, I like that he pulled out. He's like, these are my kids, you know? And I like that a lot. I thought that was cool. It brought some humanity to a film that's designed for them to separate themselves from humanity to get out in a way. Like, and that was crazy. Like, oh man, such a good twist in this film. What'd you guys think about like when, like, you and I have seen this before, right? But Josh, like, you haven't seen a Predator film, right, before. What did you think like going into this? What was your impression?
I like the film as itself, as a whole, because I knew you were talking about the twist. The film itself as a whole, I really liked it. It was obviously a little bit different from different things that I had been sort of expecting. And like, because even though this is the first like full Predator film I watched, I was like briefly sort of introduced to the film series. It was just like a random day. We were at my mother-in-law's apartment. Like, I'm there with my then girlfriend and like their siblings, and my girlfriend and her brother are watching the first Predator movie because he is a huge fan. My brother-in-law, not Casey, my other brother-in-law on the other side, he loves the Predator movies and the Alien, like all of those. He's huge fans. And so he was like, we're going to watch like the Predator movie today and stuff. So I had like walked in and out during different parts, like even though most of it was in there. So, you know, I'd seen Arnold Schwarzenegger and I'd seen, you know, him doing the heat vision and everything. So I knew like tiny little bits about, and you know, like just pop culture, like stuff happens. So like, I knew like a little bit about what was going on. And so I felt like I knew enough that I wasn't just like, okay, what is going on? And at the very beginning of the movie, obviously where they're dropped in, I'm like, is this like a result of something that happened in the second movie? Like, and I was confused for a bit until it was like, oh no, this is really just what, like, these people were all just dropped in and like, that's just the beginning of the movie. So I really liked that it was sort of like, for me, who had not seen any of the other ones, that I could just get into the middle of that and be like, okay, I can still watch this without having seen the other ones. And you get the basic rundown of what's happening.
That's kind of what I was hoping for you when you told me you hadn't seen any of them, was like, you asked me like, do I need to see the other two before I watch this one? And I'm like, no, I don't think you do. And I was thinking to myself, it might be more fun to watch this one without knowing like any real details, because you're kind of on the same ride as the characters that you're with.
Like, what's going on? What are these things like?
Whereas like with us, we kind of, I mean, the mystery when they get dropped in at first, you're like, what's going on? But pretty rapidly you're like, oh, okay, I see what they're doing here. If you're familiar with kind of like what the Predator is and what he does.
Is this what happens in the first two, or do they happen on Earth?
No, so the first one, they both happen on Earth, the first one. I don't remember the second one, honestly. I think I've seen it once.
I don't think it was anything special.
No, a lot of people don't like it. Even Robert Rodriguez said when they asked him in interviews, like, what kind of movies did you watch to kind of get you guys ready for this one? He was just like, oh yeah, I watched the first one and learned what to do, and then I watched the second one and learned what not to do. So,
oh man.
But the first one, just the movie opens and there's a spaceship flying across and it goes past Earth and you see another ship drop down, and it's about a bunch of Marines, Green Berets or something, that go in on a rescue mission, and as they try to get out of this jungle, they start being killed off one by one and they don't know why. And so you learn throughout the movie, like, this alien is killing people. So really you don't really learn anything about what the Predator is or what it does. You just know that it's an alien that showed up and started killing people.
Dang.
This one, you get a lot more world building into it. So
I liked it. The world building is crazy for this because it's like a completely different setting, which I found it like semi hard to believe that even though they were in the forest, they could walk all that way without looking up and seeing like Jupiter or like all like the crazy sky and stuff. But like, either way, it was really crazy to see like, oh, they're not just like being hunted. They're being hunted with basically no way to like get out. So it's not just like, hey, like walk far enough or do this or that. it's like, okay, we literally have to either beat these things or just die. Like, those are our options pretty much.
So I haven't watched this since it came out pretty much. Like, the year I got it on DVD, I watched it in the house that Dallin and I lived at that had the pink bunny wall, you know? And I'd kind of forgotten about it. And when I watched it this time, I was like, mass darkness, Hunger Games, like way darker, way gorier, and with aliens. I was like, that's what it is. And then it was really fun to kind of revisit and remember it in that way. And then like compare like my context from when it came out back in the day and watching it down in that basement versus now when I'm like, I've watched other films that feel similar to it, but are so different. And it was cool. And I thought the same thing. I was like, why didn't they know they were on another planet? But also, he points out the sun hasn't moved, and maybe that's it because it was so thick. I thought about this for a minute too during the film. I was like, what is this? I don't know. So
it looked like it was a pretty small planet too. The way how close all those other planets were around and stuff.
It was like a moon around Jupiter. That's like what I thought it was, because the one big one really looked like Jupiter to me. And so I was like, either they really are just out where all these planets are super close to each other, or they're on one of Jupiter's moons. That was like my thought, not that it really matters. They're just not on Earth, you know? It's like, well, yeah, just screwed.
I just want to get, I guess we're talking about our first experiences, right? This is your first experience in Predator. Casey, you kind of grew up with it. Did you? What was your first experience?
I walked in on the very first movie. Like, I remember when I was little, right? Like, because I was probably like 10 or 11. Like, I walked in, I was like, what is this? And like, it was like, you know, it's Predator. It was like, I remember people dying. I remember Schwarzenegger having a few great lines. But then, like, growing up, Alien versus Predator was a thing. Like, all of these, like, side shows to the original storyline, franchise, and idea. And maybe other people are going to be like, whoa, 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 all these other films are necessary to understand. But I'll be real with you, Predator has been my least favorite character to come out of the Alien franchise, because I just like...
Which it kind of, like, that's what makes it so weird, is it kind of... I'll get into it when
it's like
about it too.
It's like the Wish version of Alien. That's how it feels to me, because like the xenomorphs are crazy. They're so detailed and intricate, and this one's just like a spaceman with weapons attached. So he's like a Buzz Lightyear, but like darker, but with like dreadlocks. Brutal. Yeah, like I don't know how to describe it. Like if you think about the world, right? You're thinking about the... Oh, no, I just blanked on what they're called. The world builders, the creators.
The guys in Prometheus.
Yeah, the origin species or whatever. And like, you think about those guys, and maybe it's just like they mutated themselves a little bit. I don't know the stories well enough. I can't remember them. Because I literally am like, Predator's cool, but like, have you seen Alien? Like, that's how I feel. And I feel bad saying that because I know you're a fan of it.
I totally agree with you. Alien is the better franchise.
Oh, 100%. But I don't understand why. Like, why don't we know more about this? Like, why hasn't been... like more invested, because this film was shot with a $40 million budget and grossed $130 million. So it seems to me that there's interest there, but we haven't like fleshed it out yet, or like fleshed it out in a way that people who are interested, like, I don't know, and I use the reference to like a Wish version of Alien, but like, I get tired of these B films being like the next in the series and they're just really shitty.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what's happened with Predator a lot. Like, people have made knockoffs.
Predator is so bad.
And that came out in 2019.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I haven't watched it.
Garbage.
Why is it garbage?
Here's my hot take, guys.
Okay.
I don't think any of the Predator movies are really good. This one I enjoy a lot, but it was way slower than I remember, and it picks up at the end. I rewatched Predator 1 last night, enjoyed it, but was very much looking at my phone a lot of the time. It's slow, it's dated, got some great one-liners, got some cool action. I don't really love it. So I was sitting there last night, and I was just like, why do I love the Predator if I don't love the movies like I love Alien 1, Alien 2, some couple of the best 80s movies out there. So, so good.
Yes.
And like, neither of these franchises are really, they're tied together, but are they the same universe? Kind of, not really. There's like these side Alien versus Predator movies. I'm like, where does my love for Predator come from? Because I didn't grow up on Predator 1 when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I don't think I saw the first Predator movie until I was like in my 20s. Mm-hmm. But Predator and Alien have always been just there for me. It's like Star Wars, you know? Star Wars for some people have always been there. For me, I never really saw the Predator movies, but I owned 4 or 5 Alien toys, Predator toys. Like, I owned the Alien versus Predator video game. It was one of the very first video games I remember playing, and it was terrifying. And I'd watch my dad play it on the Atari Jaguar. So I was like running around as the Predator, and then you could like change the heat vision and stuff, or you could switch over to the alien. So it's just always been there. Even though I didn't grow up with this franchise, like watching the specific movies, I created this idea of what the Predator was in my head. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like kids with Star Wars playing with their Star Wars toys and making up stories in the Star Wars universe.
And now John Favreau runs it. Now you're going to run the Predator universe is what's going
to
happen.
That's what I was doing throughout my entire childhood. I came to this realization over this week as I was watching these. I was just like, why don't I love these movies? But I love these this franchise specifically. I love Aliens because the Aliens movies are great. But Predator in particular, I have this idea of what Predator should be, and it was never really portrayed the way I imagined it. And I played with my toys, or I played with my buddies pretending we were aliens and predators and stuff. But I have this love for the franchise because it was a part of my childhood growing up, even though I didn't watch all the movies.
Dang.
It was kind of mind blowing for me. I came to this realization. That's
crazy. Well, yeah, I don't remember like really like sitting down or having like an affinity to watching it, right? Like I walked in and I think my dad was watching in the living room one time, and I sat down and watched it with him a little bit, but I don't really remember being like a huge fan. I know Predator exists. Like one of my favorite bands has a video where Predator is like actually running through the entire video, which is way funny, swinging and like getting like unfriended by people and like just that. But like really, like I've never been like, oh man, I want to sit down and watch Predator, or I want to sit down and watch Predators. Like it's just different. I don't know. But I hear what you're saying though, like, because that's like, so like RoboCop is that for me. So when I was a little kid, I talked my parents into getting me the RoboCop toy with a motorcycle, and it had flashing lights, right? Like it was an old RoboCop toy, and I built a world around that in my mind. And I had never watched RoboCop until they did the reboot, and then I watched the reboot, and then I went back and watched the other, like I think the first one, and there's like two or three, right? I think I watched the first one and the second one, I think, and I was like, okay.
I watched the third one when I was a kid. It's garbage. Don't watch it. But I loved it when I was a kid. Loved it when I was a kid.
But that's like kind of the thing, right? Is for those of us, and like Josh, you have films like this too, where you know about it. It's a part of culture, but you didn't really watch it. Or you have no real thing. You've used your imagination, created this thing where I enjoy this because it's like Star Trek for a lot of kids. Like they've watched the old series, right? Like, because that's what's safe and their parents like comfortable having them watch, and they build this world out about it, and they play Star Trek all the time, and some people do a Star Wars. I do it with knights and like Vikings and like old school stuff. Like everyone just does it. And so I think that's, we've done that with Predator, because I remember doing the same thing a little bit with Predator and like imagining it. So I don't know. And
I think this says a lot about the character design of the Predator itself. Like, and this brings me up to my next topic of how cool were these new Predators, and whether or not these new Predators are better than the original or just a worthy addition to the Predator ecosystem. Like I said, world building in general, that we can take this character that we've seen and just, it's so well done and it looks so cool and so real that you want to create worlds around it on your own. Mm-hmm. So what did you guys think, Josh? What did you think of the Predators themselves? And did it mean anything to you when you saw that first Predator hung up on the little spool when they got to the hunting camp?
That was like, for me, I was like, is this Predator from Predator 1? I'm like, that's got to be what it is, right? Like, I was like, I really have no clue. I was like, cause that's what it's got to be, because you see it there. And I'm like, okay, and we've already seen a little bit, not really, but like know a little bit about like what's going on. And so like, okay, these guys don't like this one. So it's like, that's got to be like the old one. And these ones are like new. These are Predator 2.0 or something like that. You know, I thought they were really cool. I don't know the difference of like what these Predators had versus what the ones in the other, like the first two did. I don't know the difference, but I thought it was really cool. I liked how they really were, even though they're like these big, like monstrous beings, they have like that sort of high tech equipment. They have the stuff and they really are hunting. You know, it's Predators is the name of the movie. And so it's really just these guys are releasing the humans on their planet, you know, like dropping them in like battle royale with the freaking like shoot. So they land on the ground. It's like, all right, now we got to go kill them all, like one by one, hunt them down. And I also liked that really this is like what they're, it almost seems like this is like what their entire existence is about. They enjoy it and they want to do it. And they also want to like have fun with it, because they're not just there to like kill them. Cause there's multiple times in the film where they could have like with one of their like photon blaster things, or even just like with one of their swords where they could have killed people where they didn't, or they wanted to do something the right way or the honorable way. Like as you're getting to the end, when the one when samurai guy senses the predator behind him and he sends the other guys on and he draws out his sword and they do the little like sword battle near the end where they both kind of kill each other. Spoilers. They both kill each other. Like I liked that, how he's not like, cause he could have just been like, okay, like, pff, like Photon, like you're dead. I got like, they're looking for this hunt and that's like what their, like what their existence is about. And so it's really interesting because it's not just like, it's not like on Earth where if someone is like hunting like other people, it also goes into like the psychological, like what is, it's just like, these are these characters, this is their existence, like why they live and this is what they're doing. So there's no like psychological part behind it other than like, this is the hunt and you have to either survive like and kill or like be killed. And so it was really interesting there. And I liked all the different tech. I loved like the green blood. I loved the swords coming out of their arms and
the
everything.
Rock, the monster blood.
Yes. It was very cool. So I liked a lot about all the different predators and the tech. I liked it all. It was very cool.
I think it, I don't know. How do I say this? So Morpheus, right? I don't know what his name is in this, but Lawrence Fishburne.
Lawrence Fishburne.
He kind of says it like they just aim to hunt and they aim to get better at their craft at killing, and they will, three of them will always come down every season, right? And then they will come back the next season with new tech based off of what they've done. And I loved, like, when you brought up the samurai scene right there, like the way they shot that, the way they portrayed it, it was so worthy of the scene, in my opinion, right? And I know limited to nothing about Japanese culture and how it was, but I felt like they did the respect to that because it wasn't just like somebody grabbing a samurai sword and recklessly waving it around. It was somebody who understood it. Like, despite them being Yakuza or whatever, right? Like, which is frowned upon in that culture, like, he respected the craft of the samurai sword, like right from the time he picked it up, like this has been going for a long time, like he said the prayer and like he pulled it out and he's like, wow, this is amazing, like it's really cool. And I think the predators are very similar to Alien. Like the xenomorphs are different, there are so many different variations of xenomorph, and we learn about that from, is it Michael who stays in Prometheus on the planet and then breeds a variety of them and like just does different variations. I'm feeling that they're just different species of the same species, like different versions of the same species, I guess.
Yeah, they kind
of
have a line in there that's just kind of like, oh, there's bigger ones. Imagine like dogs versus wolves, you know?
Yeah.
And they have some kind of like blood war against each other. And that's an idea introduced in this movie specifically. And they explore it a little more in the new Predators movie.
I liked your eye roll that you just did right there.
I hate what they did, everything that they did with it. Basically, in the new movie, they made it so the Predator's purpose is they're harvesting DNA to make themselves bigger and stronger. And that's why they're hunting the best that they can is to hunt for better DNA to make them better and bigger killers. It's stupid. I love the idea of these are just like aliens that run around the galaxy for the challenge of it, like you said. They have a code, like you talked about, and they're going to stick to that, and they just want to prove that they're the biggest and the best in the entire universe. And that's what this whole planet is built around. It's gathering up the best killers they can find, throwing them on a hunting ground, and proving that they can outwit or outsmart or outstrength or outskill everyone in the universe. I think just that in itself is such a cool idea. And then within their culture, they have another culture of just like, these bigger guys think that they can push around the little guys, but they're so proud that they're going to push against it. It's awesome. And I have to talk about that freaking samurai scene too that we're all bringing up. Like, as soon as you learn that these aliens, these predators have been doing this for centuries and centuries, for thousands and thousands of years all over the galaxy, it makes you think like, oh, what generation of Earth would you want to see the Predator go up against? Samurai, guaranteed. Like, that's the first thing. And they throw it in the movie. Like, I want to see a samurai go up against a Predator. And they give it to you.
Wish granted.
Yeah. So what generation off the top of your guys' heads, can you guys think of another, like, culture that you would love to see go up against a Predator? They have, in the hunting camp, you actually see the skull of, like, an old Neanderthal caveman. So, like, they've been pulling people from Earth since we were dumb cavemen. So
don't, that make, means don't make fun of my ancestors, like that. No,
I don't know, because samurai really seems like the one that stands out, like as the one that you would want to see as far as like an iconic warrior that you would love to see have like a fight between them and the Predator. Because other than that, I'm like, like Roman soldiers, all this stuff, like maybe like Spartans, if you had like like a few, like not 300, but like three Spartans, like you have them together, like going up. That'd be pretty cool. Like, I don't know. That'd be nice, but.
Casey, anything off the top of your head?
I have a few ideas. I think it'd be fun to do a pirate version of this, like just for the sake of, like, if we're going back in time, like, I'm curious how their tech was different then versus now. Obviously, it was advanced enough to pull people right off of the planet and do it, so that could be kind of rad. I also would be curious to see Native American, like, some, like, freaking...
All right, I have a treat for you.
Brutal soldiers. I'm ready.
There's a rumor floating around the internet that there's a movie coming out about a Native American woman and her tribe, and I can't remember all the details, but they have some random name for it and just a vague description of what it is. Rumor is it's a Predator movie, and it's going to be following this woman Native American back in the day, and the Predator shows up and goes up against the Native Americans of the U.S. in the U.S. before the... we come over from Europe and take over.
Well, shit, sign me up. That's all I have to say. Please.
That sounds like it'd be awesome.
Take away all the fancy guns, take away all the like flash, and just get back to like the basics, bow and arrows, tomahawks, you know, that kind of stuff. And people who actually know how to hunt, like whose entire survival is based on the hunt, you know, go up against the Predator. Whew.
That is true, because those were some of the best fights in this movie, is when it was just like down to like melee versus melee. Versus like, dang, like they're running away from the Predator and Nikolai gets shot with the plasma blaster from like 40 feet away. And like, that kind of sucks. Like that blows. Like he got him back with the claymore strapped to his chest. But like, still though, you're like, boo.
Well,
give me a real fight.
That's the best part about the first one too, is when Arnold loses his weapons and covers himself in mud and goes all like Vietnam War on him, setting up booby traps. It goes Rambo on him. That's a better
Rambo, yeah. Rambo.
But he does use a lot of tactics that were used in the Vietnam War with the, like, what do they call them? Gully ditches or whatever, spikes in the ground, all that kind of stuff. And that's the best part of that movie. So give me more of that. You know, that's what made Predator special is...
Well, what did you think about the booby trap they set off, like, at the first? Like, that was such a cool sequence. And it makes me wonder how long that dude hung out to set that up. But, like, oh, man, it was so good. Like, all around. I don't know. I guess, like, the disappointing part of this is, like, I know I've talked about how much I love Stargate and Stargate SG-1, but... in a way, like, the Predators feel like an alien you would discover going through the portal, right? Like the Stargate. But I want more of their tech and their storyline and, like, their language and, like, their backstory. And I know that there are knockoff films and theories about it, but, like, I don't know. I really haven't invested enough time to understand it. But I just
I know there's, like, comic books, too, but I don't really know the details of the Predators themselves. And I don't really want to, though. That's me. I know...
Well, they have that mask, right? And they don't speak. It's almost like a character who's mute throughout the film, right? Like, the Yakuza guy was dope because he didn't speak English until he found the samurai sword, right? And they're like, Topher Grace was like, you speak English. And it's like, what? And he's like, yeah, because I talk too much. And he's like, missing three fingers or whatever. It's like, okay. But I don't know. There's so much to this I want to know. But at the same time, I'm happy not knowing it.
I like the vague, like, ideas that they give you. But I like how there's a mystery behind it when it comes right down to it.
They,
like,
go up in a ship, they come down, so we don't know much.
Let me read you real quick. I know we're pushing time here, yeah? Let me read you what Robert Rodriguez's first version of the script was. Okay. He wrote this back in the 90s after the first one came out.
Really?
So it was very, very old. Apparently it got, like... presented, they didn't think they could push, like, the budget to make it was too high for the time, blah blah blah. They finally said, okay, let's make your movie. And right when they got a director, and when they're about to film, basically they said, this isn't gonna work. Let me read you the pitch of this movie. The original rejected script by Robert Rodriguez had the Predators riding motorcycles and drinking alien beer while watching matches in a Coliseum-like arena. There was a substantial role for Dutch, Arnold Schwarzenegger, from the first film, who had been captured and was forced to fight in the arena as a gladiator against Predators and other alien cultures. Due to prohibitive costs and Schwarzenegger's term as governor of California, it was rewritten to feature captured soldiers dropped into an alien game reserve, but there would originally have been 200 Predators in the movies. Nimrod Antle, the director, a big fan of the franchise, found it preposterous, reasoning that if a single Predator posed a dangerous threat in the previous films, then dealing with hundreds of them would give the human characters no reasonable chance for survival. It was scaled back to three Predators and and another basic idea that was kept throughout included six out of eight human characters getting killed. Rodriguez then offered Schwarzenegger a cameo at the end where Dutch, in full Predator attire, emerges from the ship with several Predators and praises the survivors for winning, but unfortunately, Schwarzenegger couldn't commit.
So, hold on. Riding motorcycles and drinking beer.
Drinking like, alien beer, Case.
No. What was the show we watched that was a Schwarzenegger film? It was like Terminator or Terminator 2 that we watched, right?
Terminator 2.
And that scene where he's riding the motorcycle down the Los Angeles River or whatever, like that's what came to mind. I was like, just Predator riding around in this old school gear from the 90s or whatever.
I hated this idea. I hate everything about that. Predators riding motorcycles, drinking beer, and watching humans fight in a coliseum. That ruins the entire character for me. The entire species.
It's like it turns from this mystical alien like predator thing, and then they're like, could we make these weak Roman emperors? Like, we could do that. Let's turn it into that. And you're like, boo, like it is what it is. Hey. So do you think that with these new predators, like Predator 2.0 in this movie, is this like it? So obviously they're like kind of better because they do like have the other one captured, but with their tech and with everything they use, do you think that this and how they hunt is like an upgrade to the first one as far as in terms of if you like the Predator the way it is, or do you think it's a downgrade from the first movie?
I'm okay with these ones. Like, I like this idea of bigger versus smaller, but still the same, you know? I don't like the idea of splicing DNA to make myself stronger, but I just like the idea of a culture that's just like the strongest are the leaders, you know? Like, it sucks if you're born not strong, but prove yourself and you can move yourself up in this thing. And so I didn't like the way the super predators looked compared to the original design of the Predator itself. There's just something about that original Predator, man, that just looks so cool. The shape of, especially with the mask on, once the mask comes out, it gets kind of freaky, but I even like the original Predator's face without the mask more than I like the super Predator's face without the mask. I do love the touches that they added to the super Predator, like the tusks hanging off the bottom of the masks and the big jaw, like showing that this culture of, you know, proving your strength and taking your trophies actually takes those trophies and like incorporates it to their armor, you know?
Yeah.
I love that idea.
It feels a little Mandalorian-esque where they're taking the Beskar and like building it on. I don't know. I loved it all. I think that it was a good upgrade. It went from being like a classic 80s muscle man movie to like a, I felt like it was a worthy reboot is how I feel about it. I don't know if you classify this as a reboot, but I think it was. So like, cause we could drop Josh into it just like we did these characters and Josh could figure it out and figure out the premise of the film and the series and understand the characters, but I don't know.
Can I ask a super quick explanation? I know that they were kind of trying to go for the same Arnold Schwarzenegger vibe with the whole, he goes shirtless and puts the mud all over himself at the end. But like, didn't Arnold do that to like not show up on like the thermal vision and stuff? Okay, so he did that to not show up on the thermal vision. This guy puts all the mud on, but then his tactic is to like light fire behind him so that the thermal vision like all kind of looks the same. Why does he have mud on him?
I thought like, the same thing.
I was like, I know that you're trying to like call back to the original and show Royce as being this ripped ass man, but like literally his tactic collides against he, like they shouldn't work.
I have a theory about this actually. Okay. And why he had to do it. So right when we talked to Morpheus in his little drill, he talks about like how they have like advanced and changed and how like the suit of armor that he has is outdated type thing, right? So I'm guessing that this was his backup plan. Like if this doesn't work, I can at least use the fire to offset what's going on. But then we find out the freaking heart rate shit that goes down.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Cause he has different filters of that, right? And so that's my theory, but I don't know. I agree with you because I was like, this is freaking stupid. And I thought about it afterwards and I was like, that might make sense. I don't know. Cause like, do you know if like, obviously I'm not sure if you've been to get glasses, but I know Josh has gotten glasses and had glasses, but like when they flip the lights better or worse, like I wonder if they just have it designed to where they can like because they hunt different species, right? Like a variety of species. So they're just taking the best of what those things have and like implementing into their tools.
So they can just like go through until they find the one of those things, whether it be like the heartbeat thing, or maybe it's some sort of like different vision or like sound or something like that, where they just flip through it until whatever they're hunting, like, okay, like this helps me like locate it and track it the best.
That's how the Alien versus Predator video game worked. The one on Jaguar, anyway. You could change from like thermal vision to other style vision. So I always thought that was just a part of the Predator, was his helmet could change. Apparently that wasn't introduced until after the first movie came out. I don't know if it was in the second one. I gotta watch the second one again.
Well, you have fun watching that, because I don't think I will. Guys, you got anything else to say before we close this out?
Yeah, just to kind of wrap the story up a little bit. I really like the way that you know, the main character comes around from being this loner to being this like, I'm gonna care about someone else that has proven like that's more important than just the thrill of the hunt. But did you guys see that twist coming with Topher Grace with
I know
Eric
that
Foreman?
I knew that something had to happen, because they're like, there's no way with all of them, like especially with the extremely obvious and like sort of cheesy like explanation of on Earth we're the predators, like partway through the movie I'm like, okay, there's no way that there's this random weak doctor is in the middle of all of these people. Like something has to be up with this guy, and I had no clue what it was going to be or if he was actually going to see. I thought it would just been some sort of thing where all of a sudden he whips out some crazy medical or something to like kill the predators or something. So I didn't see the whole he goes against like the people. I didn't see that coming, but you just in the back of your mind as you're watching the movie, you're like, something has to happen with this guy, because he really doesn't fit in with these people. And they basically give that to you from the beginning when they're talking like at the river, like this guy doesn't fit. And so it's like, okay, well, something's gonna happen with this guy at some point in the movie.
Well, when they bring up that he, what's the word here? Like when he does like the thing with the poison, he's like, oh, this is what this is. This is what it'll do. I got a weird thing, especially when he's like, oh, I'm just a doctor. Cause we haven't really had a good like killer doctor show in a while. And I know this was done like a decade ago now, but like it did good. Like it was good and secretive, and
yeah,
creepy pervy doctor worked.
I kept justifying it as, oh, well, maybe the Predators wanted to make it a little more fair game and they gave him a medic, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, they grab all the, like, the dangerous people, but they're like, oh, we know how to hurt, you know, cure ourselves. Let's give them an edge by giving them someone who knows a lot about the human anatomy. And so, yeah, there was a lot of, like, hints that, like, were basically telling you, like you said, Josh, but I was still in the back of my mind, like, the first time I saw it, like, well, maybe that's why he's there. Like, why else? Why? Maybe that's why. But yeah, on rewatch, like there's a lot of hints saying that this guy's crazy. Like he takes Nikolai, is that the Russian guy's photo of his kids, and, you know, uses that to try to get the main character to help him. He's like, I have kids, and uses like just constantly lying and saying whatever he has to do. So that twist really worked for me.
Yeah.
Just because I kept like justifying it in my mind. And then at the end, I'm just like, okay, I like that. That's cool. That's a
and
fun
he died.
Idea.
All right, we're good.
There are crazy. He is probably one of the most effective killers on Earth, because no one knows he's a killer. And that idea is interesting to me.
Because even though I thought something was going to happen, I was like, this man is not dangerous in the slightest. Like, he is helpless, especially against these predator things. Like when they're in the ship and stuff, I was like, Eric, you're toast. Sorry, bud.
I don't know. He put up a pretty good fight against that kid with scoliosis and asthma.
Oh man. That 70s show references. I miss that show.
Me too.
Guys, I had fun talking about this movie. It's so good to get back together. I like our schedule where we're hanging. I'm excited to talk another movie with you. We don't know what it is yet. Obviously, we haven't made that decision. But are you guys happy? Do you guys have anything else to say? I don't know. I'm just here because I'm so giddy.
Thank you guys for watching this one with me. Thanks for letting me talk about Predator for an hour. Look forward to the next one.
Yeah, we'll probably get another movie in before the next one. We'll have our like sort of best of 2020 coming in a little bit. I think we haven't really ironed out the details, but I think that we're probably going to take an Oscar-like approach in that like any movies that are eligible for like the 2020 Oscars, which is anything that's released through the end of February, will kind of be eligible for that. I'm very looking forward to a few that are coming out here pretty soon, like Minari, the new A24 one with Steven Yeun.
The Green Knight is coming out this year, too.
Green Knight, Nomadland, all of that comes out like in these next couple weeks to be like, all right, they're finished. They're like finalizing eligibility for the Oscars right around like the end of February. So I think like once all of those are out and we've had a chance to see what we want to see, we'll get that best of 2020 podcast out. One of, I don't know about you guys, definitely one of my favorites of the year to do. It's always really fun to go back, even though there's obviously very big holes in 2020 as far as like nothing was being released. It'll be good to go back and remember like, oh yeah, like Onward came out like in 20, like all of that stuff.
That Tenet. Feels like 4 years ago almost.
Yeah, it was almost a year because it was in March of last year. Goodness, so
that's madness.
Anyways, yeah, so be looking forward to that. We're just super happy to be back and talking movies with you guys.
Okay, guys. Well, we'll catch you next time. It was fun to chat. Vince and Josh, as always, thanks for coming over to my house.
I'm sorry. Oh, one last thing.
You got more to say.
I'd be remiss to not say the noise that the Predator makes, that like clicking noise. Iconic. Love it. Let's end this podcast with that.
Add it on.
I will add it on. Well, guys, thank you, Vince. Thank you for our ending sound and for choosing this movie. And Josh, as always, thanks for coming over and bring your dog so my dogs have someone to distract them so they're not like peeking through the window creepily.
Likewise.
And we'll catch you guys next time on the Pause, Rewind, Play podcast.